Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts through, once again tonight, another familiar portion of Scripture. And that's the beauty of being able to turn to these familiar portions. We've heard it before, but the reminder, the review, so many times is such an encouragement to our hearts. Thank you, Father, again, that you've given us your word. I pray that you would be glorified in what is said tonight. Pray that your Spirit would be our teacher. Pray that we would see truth as it relates to our lives, and then that we would be desirous to act upon it. Thank you now in your name. Amen. Okay. Andrew, you like titles to write down. And this one is, I Needed That. I Needed That. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. And I want us to begin at verse 28. And we'll look through verse 31. This 31st verse is a verse which is often quoted as a favorite verse of many people, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run, not be weary. Walk not faint. We even sing about that, don't we, sometimes? Someone has put this verse to a melody. And perhaps you're one that has often quoted it, of how that has helped you. And if so, what a blessing. But there's something here that I wonder if we take a closer look at it, I wonder if we've really seen something that the prophet had written here, and that maybe we hadn't thought of it in this light before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and so on. So, before we look at that verse, that 31st verse, to spend some time on it, I want us to go back in note takers. Number one, in verse 28, we see the description of our mighty God. The description of our mighty God. And in verse 28, we see, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. As we take that verse apart and dissect it, as we look at how it describes our mighty God, we'll just take it a phrase at a time. For instance, have you not known, have you not heard, that the first thing that we find about him is what? He is referred to as the everlasting God. That's quite a statement in our face, isn't it? Just to stop and think about it. Our God, as a believer, what we in the Christian faith refer to, the one that we worship, is the everlasting God. When we stop and think about that very truth, even if the eternity previous was not considered, from that point on, when we refer to him as the everlasting God, it is telling us what regarding the future? There will never be what? An end of God. He will never fail. He will never run out of energy. He is the Almighty. He is the self-sufficient one. When Moses said, "Lord, when I go to the Egyptians and they ask for me, what's the name of the God that has raised you up to save us from our captivity?" What did God reveal to Moses? "I am that I am." What am I? I am. I am the one that keeps me going. I am the here. I am the everlasting God. You know, if we didn't have any more to go on than that, I would say, that's good enough for me. How about you? That our God is everlasting. I believe I could trust one like that. But that's not the end of it. We go back to verse 28 and we see here, this everlasting God is referred to as what? Pardon? The Lord. The eternal I am. I am the Lord. I'm self-existent. In the verse, we see the next word that the prophet says, "I am the everlasting God, I am the Lord." And then how does he reveal himself? "I am the creator of the ends of the earth." We don't have any trouble believing that, do we? I don't think there's anybody here that gives evolution a second thought. But you know, there are multitudes of people who do not acknowledge our God as creator. Tragically enough, they would rather believe in chance and something random, some Big Bang theory that some planets clashed together and parts of it flew off, and as they cooled down, condensation formed this little pool, and one day there was this little wiggly thing in there. And it started, and it wiggled around for aeons and eons. And one day it got tired of wiggling around in that slime and it decided to crawl out on dry land and decided that it wanted to be more than... Isn't that... My favorite family word is what? Stupid. You know, that's a good word. That describes much of what we see in our world. Much of what we see... Our politicians, decisions they are making, choices people are making, it's just downright stupid. And we see here, to believe that one day, here we were, mankind, from as opposed to just simply believing that there is a created, I'm not, there is a God, there is a self-sufficient everlasting God who created all these things. They did not just happen, but he created them. And everything owes its existence not to chance, but to God. And so we see Isaiah describes, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth?" What about him? What about him, Isaiah? Tell me. Well, number one, he fainteth not. He fainteth not. How many of you have ever fainted? Yeah, I've been there, done that. It's quite a surprise, isn't it? First thing you know, you don't know anything. And you're waking up and you're thinking, how in the world did I get here? What in the world happened to me? Well, that's one form of faint. But there's another faint. A person, sometimes we talk about them fainting from what? Just exhaustion. And to me, that's more what I believe the prophet has in mind, rather than just deciding to check out for a few seconds here. But here, don't you know that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he never gets so tired that he can't do it? That's saying it pretty simply, isn't it? He never gets so tired that he can't meet your needs and your needs and your needs and know what you need and how to provide. He is always on top of it. There is no shortage of his strength. And he never gets faint. So we see here, there is an eternal supply of energy and power, and he is always powerful and strong. When you need him, he's there. And you can count on that. What else? Not only he doesn't run out of strength, and the other one, he never gets weary. Now we're talking about tired, aren't we? You get weary. We've all gotten weary, haven't we? We need to sit down a minute. We need to regroup. We need to catch our breath, not our God. He's always on it 24/7. No shortage of his energy. He's not distracted by other things going on in the universe. His mind does not wander. You don't have to keep saying, "Lord, Lord, here, you're talking to me. I'm praying to you. I'm constantly, my wife will be talking to me, and the next thing I know, she's reminding me, dear, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Right, honey?" A big nod. Yeah. Well, he never grows weary. This prayer again. This person bothering me again. No, he never grows weary. And we see here, he's always alert to your needs and mine. And here, there is no searching of his understanding. No searching of his understanding. I wrote on here, he is too wise to even be understood. I can't describe. No searching of His understanding. How many of you understand everything in this world? Could I see your hands? Our God understands everything. There is not one thing that we could mention to Him and He would have to come back to us and say, I'm sorry, child of mine, I really don't know about that. That's something give me some time to do some research on it. Let me check the internet. In Romans chapter 11, don't turn to it. But in the 33rd verse, Paul wrote it this way. He said, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depths of them, he said. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. And with our God, Isaiah said, there is no searching. In other words, you and I can never be on the internet long enough to understand everything that God understands. He's always up on us. We're never going to be able to say, I know all God knows. I understand everything that God understands. Just ask me and I'll tell you. There's no searching. There's no way that man is ever going to be able to search it all out and to be able to come to the place that man is going to say, I know it all. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding, here's the way to describe it, is infinite. That's what God's understanding is. There is no searching of His understanding because it's infinite. There is no end to what He knows. Well, what a way to begin. What a way to describe. After this, we say, well, now I think, boy, when I understand that, I like that 31st verse, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as eagles, and so on. I'm trusting, I'm looking to that kind of a God that we just described in verse 28. And I guess for many, many years, that was kind of the way it was. I just thought, boy, we're jumping from the description of how mighty our God is, how strong He is, how eternal He is, whatever we need, He's there. No wonder we would quote verse 31. But then, and perhaps I even thought of it as a form of, kind of insurance. With a God like that, what have I got to lose? I don't have anything to lose. I'll be able to fly over all of my problems because I've got a never-ending source of strength in my God. But then, one day, I realized that there was something that I had overlooked in this portion. And I became aware of something, I became aware of the fact that there was a fine point that I had not given thought to. And I started taking a look at that. And in verse 31, it says, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Renew their strength. Now, what does that suggest? What does renewing one's strength suggest? Could it be suggesting that there's going to first be experienced perhaps some weak times, some difficult times? And I thought, well, I guess that means when I get tired, God's going to come along, pump me up. He's going to supplement my strength, which is weak, and then I can go on. But then I took another look at verse 29. And in verse 29, I spotted what I had missed, because it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. I realize that God here is shown as a God who is desirous of giving power and strength to the ones who have no strength. He gives power to the faint. Now, we learned in verse 28, God doesn't faint, he doesn't grow weary. But verse 29 says, guess what? Some of us faint. Some of us don't have the strength to go on. Some of us are going to experience some times when we can't go on. And before, to me, what this 29th verse is saying, before I am ever going to experience the victory that we like to claim in verse 31, before I'm going to know what it is for him to renew my strength in verse 31, I'm going to have to be brought to the place of what? Verse 29, no strength. Now, how many of us like that kind of position? We say, I don't like to think about that. I like to be able to just always be on top, always to be able to just keep on going. We like to make the claim of verse 31, oh yes, I'm looking to the Lord. He renews my strength and I can fly like an eagle and so on. But we forget that in order to experience flight, we're going to have to be brought to the place where we have no strength. Now, as we stop and think of it that way, let's think of some other verses. You say, I don't know that I've ever thought of this passage. I mean, I like Isaiah chapter 40, and it's one of my favorites. But you know, I guess I really haven't meditated on the impact of verse 29 and what that means for the believer. the fact that I'm going to, if I'm going to be a recipient of his power, then I'm going to have to be at the place where I'm saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power because I can't go on. And we fight that. I do. I don't like to entertain the thought that something's wrong. You all know about these, for lack of a better word, I've called them hits all these years. You have witnessed me have hits up here in the pulpit, and Steve and Jim have had to come and help me sit down. And do you like those times, Pastor? You know, does that give you great encouragement to know that, you know, when you came here as our pastor when you were 29 years old, you hadn't even invented the word hit. You didn't even know such a thing existed. But as we look at this, we realize that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and sometimes it is perhaps to make us more reliant upon Him. Who needs help, a strong one or a weak one? Yeah, the weak. Who's going to be more prone to acknowledge the Lord? And if I'm going to be able to make this, it's going to be you, Lord. Somebody who is in perfect health or somebody who's struggling. Truth is, the healthy one needs the Lord just as much, but we don't think that way, do we? When everything is ticking and clicking, we don't give it the thoughts. We like the, but they that wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles and so on. But we don't like to entertain the thought. I wonder what verse 29 is going to entail in my life. What does God have planned to say? Here's what faint is for you. Here, my child, is what having the one, being one that has no might or power or ability. That's what I mean for you, child of mine. As we look at this, let's think of some other verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul says this, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." What's he talking about? Earthen vessels. Our what? Our bodies. "We have this treasure in earthen bodies." Why? "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." How come I have aches and pains? How come I have these doctor appointments? How come I have 9:45 MRIs scheduled, Mark? It's so that the excellency of the power would be of God and not of us. These old bodies of clay, Cindy's wearing a boot, Carl's gonna go see the doctor tomorrow. My, what a healthy bunch we are. we have those reminders that if I never realized it before, I sure need you, Lord. I sure need you. So, how come these bodies are so prone to aches and pains and bruises and breaks and so on, that the excellency of the power could be of God and not of us? That anything that's ever accomplished, all the glory goes to Him, not us. Look at 12:9 of 2 Corinthians. Now we're in that chapter where Paul was having that dialogue with the Lord about this thorn in the flesh that was, in Paul's mind, a real obstacle to Paul's effectiveness for the Lord. And Paul said, I talked to the Lord 3 times about it, and I asked Him specifically, make this go away so I can serve you better. That's what we think, isn't it? Lord, if you just take these hits away from me, I can serve you better. It keeps my wife on needles and pins. I can't even take a deep breath without her asking me, are you okay? Because many times the hits have started with me taking a deep breath. Pray for that poor woman. It's no wonder she's gray. She can't relax a minute. And in that time when Paul said, Lord, I could just be so much better a servant for you. And I confess, I've thought that same way. Lord, why don't you just take these away once and for all? Just let me have one big doozy and we'll be done with it, and I would never have to think about it again. I think the Lord would come to me with verse 9 just like He did with Paul when He said this, my grace is sufficient for you. You don't need me to take it away, Jerry. You don't need me to take it away, Paul. All you need is my grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That sounds a lot like Isaiah chapter 40, doesn't it? But they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall renew their strength. They had to be weaklings before they're ever going to appreciate being restored with strength. And that was the Lord's answer to Paul. Paul, you don't need me to take it away. I'll give you grace to handle it. My strength is made perfect through your weakness. Trust me, Paul. And so Paul, once he comprehended that, said this to the Lord, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul never asked the Lord again to take that thorn away. He was thankful that God had said, I'll give you grace to handle it. And Paul said, fine, and I'll glorify you with it, receiving the strength that you're going to give me to handle it. And then I think about Matthew chapter 11, when the Lord issued that invitation in that is so often quoted, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, whom did the Lord invite to come unto Him? All that were what? Weak, labor You labor and you're heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Same invitation going out here in the invitation of our Lord when he offered that during his earthly ministry. Yes, we resist being brought to this place. Our pride says, Lord, you can't do that. Our pride tells us, I'm not that weak. But as long as I have strength and refuse to come to the Lord, guess what he's not going to do for me? He's not going to give me strength. And I'm going to struggle in my weakness. But when I admit to the Lord, Lord, I need some of that power, some of that renewal that Isaiah, your prophet, spoke of there in verse 29, when you said that you give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, you increase their strength. That's me, Lord. I'm looking to you. Renew my strength. Restore me. As we think about this, God gives strength to whom? To the one who admits we need strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why I come to the Lord. That's why I run to the Lord. Lord, I need your strength for another day. I need your strength to face this challenge at work today. Lord, I can't do this apart from you. Lord, I'm counting on you. And those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall discover that they will mount up as eagles, and we find that they will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because we were in such good mental, physical condition ahead of time? No, because we were needy. And our God, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't faint, he doesn't grow weary. And he has strength for you and me when we have no strength and we have no power. And when we come to him and when we run to him, he says, child of mine, I am happy to bless you with my strength. Let's close in prayer. Father, help us to remember that all of our limitations are really meant to clear the way for you to become my only capability, the only possibility that I can possibly face this. It's not because I'm so strong. I'm weak, Lord. But you are mighty. There is no end of your strength and power. And how you delight in blessing your own, strengthening them with might within, renewing strength when we have no strength. Lord, may this familiar passage be a blessing to our hearts, We ask this for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.